Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update, where we take a more in-depth look at some of the main news stories of the day. So coming up before 5.30, a campaign is being launched in the north of the island to try and combat the issue of dog fouling. Sorry if you're preparing to eat. We'll also hear about the Department for Enterprise's plan for the coming year. There's some good news for the parks in the capital. And if you're doing the parish on Saturday, are you ready? And as ever, we'll be looking at the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And we always welcome your comments here on Update. You can always get in touch with us by emailing studio@manxradio.com. Find us on WhatsApp any time of the day or night. You can message us for free there, and you can also text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The president of Tynwald has defended his decision to block a question on school review costs. Lawrence Skelly says there was no political consensus and it wasn't appropriate to compel disclosure. Ramsey Commissioners is launching a campaign to encourage people to pick up dog poo. Vice Chair Sandra Cottam-Shea is urging people who see dog owners leaving mess to educate those responsible and says a culture change will be needed.
It is a continuing issue and we have listened to the public, the ratepayers, who want something done.
The local authority will be spending just over £1,000 on posters and signs, as well as hiring a new town warden to help combat the issue. Manx Telecom could be sold to a company owned by the Jersey government. Sky News is reporting JT Group is considering a £500 million deal backed by private equity firm CVC Capital. And with drought conditions declared in several areas of the UK, the island's reservoirs remain well stocked. The latest statistics provided by Manx Utilities show an overall stock level of around 86% across the island's main five supply reservoirs. Further afield, a Chinese student said to be one of the most prolific predators in the UK has been sentenced to 24 years in prison. Met Police Detective Inspector Richard McKenzie led the investigation.
Zhou is a vile and depraved individual who committed the most cowardly and wicked of crimes. This has been one of the most complex, challenging and heart-rending investigations that we have ever carried out.
Israel's defence minister has threatened Iran's supreme leader after a barrage of Iranian missiles damaged an Israeli hospital. And the UK has recorded its hottest day of the year, with the temperature reaching 32.2 degrees Celsius in West London. There are your headlines. News at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And I don't think we're quite going to reach those highs, but it is going to get warmer. So this evening, fine and dry, lengthy sunny spells, a few patches of cloud later and overnight, light to moderate east or southeast winds, and minimum overnight temperatures will be around 14. And then tomorrow, dry with sunny spells, and it is going to become hot, maximum temperature of around 25. And then parish day Saturday, warm and humid with areas of coastal mist and fog developing, mainly affecting southern and eastern coasts, and there might also be a few sharp showers as well, this more likely later on in the day or evening. Top temperatures on Saturday a little bit cooler, 21. Sunset this evening 5 to 10, sunrise tomorrow morning 4 to 5.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshore Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tramode Estate, view delshorevehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cassery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cassery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
It's coming up to 5 past 5 here on Update. Now, as we just heard in the headlines, there has been some political debate recently about the cost of reviewing the island's schools. And now the president of Tynwald has responded to criticism over his decision to block a question which looked to obtain the cost of the Etio reports. Well, Simon Richardson is with me now. Simon, just remind us, what is this all about?
Well, Beth, it stems from a written question tabled by Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper, who asked how much government is paying Etio to carry out a three-stage validation of the island's education system. The review started last year and runs until 2026, with the first report published in April. But the Education Minister, Daphne Kane, asked to be excused from answering the cost question, and the President agreed.
And I think it's fair to say, Simon, that didn't go down well.
No, not at all. Mr. Hooper called the decision absolutely unbelievable, and he asked for a full explanation. And now we've got one. In a written statement, Lauren Skelly says the issue involved a balance of two public interests, one being transparency over how taxpayers' money is spent, and the other being the risk of harming future contract negotiations or the financial interests of private suppliers.
So essentially, though, the president didn't say the public had no right to know this.
Quite the opposite, actually. He made clear there is a legitimate public interest in the figure being disclosed, but also argued there was a valid case for withholding it at the time. And because there was no political consensus on which of those should take priority, he said it wasn't appropriate for him to act on behalf of a single member and compel an answer.
And I think it's fair to say again that part of the criticism was the fact that he didn't give an explanation over his decision when he made it.
Indeed, Mr. Skelly said that to give detailed reasons at the time could have undermined his impartiality, especially if the issue was likely to come before Tynwald for debate. And he also pointed out that Mr. Hooper had tabled a motion to raise the issue formally, but later withdrew it.
And just finally, we do, though, now have an indication of the cost of this report, don't we?
We've got a ballpark figure. The Department of Education, Sport and Culture has since said the Etio reviews cost between £150,000 and £250,000.
Simon, thank you very much indeed. 7 minutes past 5. Two supporters of the Manx Assisted Dying Bill have been asked to speak to crowds outside the House of Commons ahead of the scheduled third reading of the UK bill tomorrow. Now, more than 50 Labour MPs have urged the Leader of the House to delay this reading, calling for greater scrutiny. And of course, here on the island, we became the first place in the British Isles to approve assisted dying legislation, potentially allowing terminally ill residents access by 2027. Well, Sue Biggerstaff is one of those who will be in London and says she understands there are those who feel strongly it shouldn't be allowed.
The Dignity in Dying people in the UK got in touch with me and asked if I'd be prepared to address the crowd.
You've no idea what sort of reception you'll get down there.
I'm just going to stick to Simon's story, and that's all I can do.
Simon, obviously, Simon who died, and he's the reason you are on this, if I can call it a crusade, yeah. On this crusade.
He is, yes, because he had absolutely appalling last 2 weeks of his life that no one should have to live through. Every time I've given an interview, I've said I don't think there'll be any emotion in this one because I've done it so often before. But inevitably, when you look back and you start reliving it, you get upset again because the memory is just horrific. What I would like it to be brought in as soon as possible to stop people suffering as Simon did, but I understand the legislation has got to be right.
You'll still be aware, of course, that there are people on the other side of the argument mm-hmm. who hold as strong views as you hold.
Well, I appreciate that, and they're entitled to their opinion. And one of the biggest ones, of course, is religion, and I understand that. But if it is against your faith, you don't have to take it. But I don't think anyone has the right to tell another human being how much they should and could suffer. There were people frightened it would be called the Island of Death, but nobody calls Switzerland that.
That is Sue Biggerstaff, who was talking there to John Moss. And if that third reading goes ahead tomorrow, she may be talking to the crowds outside the House of Commons. Coming up to 5:10, well, the Isle of Man's Department for Enterprise has laid out its priorities for the year ahead with a focus on jobs, digital development and tourism. Christian Jones is with me now. So, Christian, in essence, what is the department looking to achieve?
Well, it is a wide-ranging document, but jobs are front and centre. The department wants to create and fill 1,800 new roles over the next year as part of a longer-term goal of 5,000 by 2032. They're projecting 200 new roles in the digital sector, 150 via Business Isle of Man, and a 10% rise in the tourism workforce. There's also going to be work to retain the island's existing private sector workforce, which currently stands at around 37,000 jobs.
So tourism then continues to be a major focus.
Yeah, definitely. As Visit Isle of Man is targeting 330,000 visitors and £231 million in revenue this year. That follows what they describe as a strong 2024, where they recorded £212 million in investor spend. They're also putting more emphasis on business tourism, cruise development and relaunching the Classic TT to attract more diverse audiences.
So what's happening then, Christian, on the digital and finance side?
Well, Digital Isle of Man is pressing ahead with its Activate AI programme, working on a new e-gaming strategy and exploring long-term economic potential in data governance. And on the finance side, though, the focus is on sustainable finance, international competitiveness and preparations for the 2026 Moneyval assessment. There's also a big push from Locate Isle of Man, which recorded over 2,300 relocation inquiries last year and around 7,800 talent portal sign-ups is what they call it, though we don't actually know how many of those inquiries transferred into a real relocation statistic.
And just remind us, there was some controversy, wasn't there, last year over how the department reported its PR figures?
Well, in last year's plan, the department claimed a combined PR reach of 5.8 billion. But that drew a lot of scepticism in Timwald over how the numbers were being calculated. This year, they've dropped those figures entirely. Minutes from a Visit Isle of Man board meeting suggest that was actually a deliberate decision based on concerns that the concept of reach wasn't well understood. But that said, the department is still highlighting media engagement. For example, they say the Love Manx Shop Local video campaign reached 200,000 views, up from 170,000 the year before. But that's also worth noting that Manx Radio still cannot independently verify that number.
So I guess then a bit more caution in how they're presenting those kind of statistics.
Well, it would appear so. The focus seems to have shifted more towards measurable outcomes like job numbers, investments secured and visitor spend, rather than those big headline metrics. There's also a formal review of the department's executive agency model, which is due by 2026, and that's looking at how delivery is structured and where accountability sits.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. A lot to keep an eye on there. 12 and a half minutes past five. Now, as I said before, apologies if you are eating or thinking about what you're going to have for tea, but it is one of those issues that really does keep coming back time and time again. And now Ramsey commissioners are launching a campaign to encourage people to pick up their dog mess. The local authority is going to be spending just over £1,000 on posters and signs, as well as hiring a new town warden to really try and help combat this issue. Vice Chair Sandra Cottam-Shea is urging people who see dog owners leaving mess to educate those responsible, saying a culture change will be needed. She's been talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
It's an issue. It's a problem. It's not just limited to Ramsey. I believe it's worldwide. It is a continuing issue, and we have listened to the public, the ratepayers, who want something done.
And what kind of a campaign is it that you're going to do? Because it took a few different forms during the meeting. So what have you all agreed on as the outcome of this?
So what we have done is agreed to take the cheaper option, which is about roughly just over £1,100 for posters and stickers, in combination with the appointment, advertising appointment of a new town warden.
How effective do you think the town warden in combination with the posters and stickers will be for the town?
Well, I'm hoping for positive results, but this has to come. It's a cultural change. We have to, you must never put yourself at risk, but we mustn't be afraid of challenging perceived antisocial behaviour. I wouldn't, again, advocate putting myself or anybody at risk, but I wouldn't hesitate on challenging somebody who I saw didn't pick up their dog's waste.
It was obviously mentioned in the meeting about bins and them maybe not being as many bins or the wrong bins. Do you think putting stickers on the bins and saying people can use this bin to dispose of dog waste will help? Is that going to be part of your campaign?
I hope so, and it'll be cheaper than putting the smaller dog bins back. They just filled up so quickly and then spilled out. I did say in the meeting, I think it was misinterpreted, if you do have the capacity, if you're out with your dog, you're obviously going to get home. So take your waste home and put it in your own bin. If it's wrapped up, it's okay to carry. There was mention of people not using certain bins because you had to touch them. We have to put this into perspective. You have just picked up fecal waste.
And if people do see somebody not picking up dog waste, or they think they might know people who aren't, what is the best course of action for them to take?
Well, if you're a dog owner, dog walker like myself, you've always got poo bags in your pocket. Offer one. Be polite about it. Recommend, educate, assist. Don't go in guns blazing. But this takes a village, takes a town to change culture.
That was the Vice Chair of Ramsey Commissioners, Sandra Cottam-Shea, talking to Emma Draper about that clean-up campaign in the north of the island. It has just gone 5:15.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
And thank you very much to the texter who says there are no traffic lights at Glenvine. They're not working. So if you're heading in that direction, then just be aware of that. We haven't had any official confirmation there. But as ever, if you're able to let us know about things that are happening, it's really helpful. 166, 177. Other things tonight, the Thaltywell Road closed from the mountain to just below the Sulby Reservoir. That's for patching works. It is going to reopen at 3:30 tomorrow for the weekend, shutting again on Monday morning at 9:30. And also still those temporary lights on Alexandra Drive at the junction with Woodlands Avenue, 24 hours a day for gas works. If you're planning an evening walk or cycle along the Heritage Trail near the Raggett, that's between the Raggett and Patrick, it is closed actually until tomorrow for urgent maintenance. You won't be able to do that. And all looking okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well. And we'll keep you up to date on that traffic light situation in Glenvine.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It's just gone 16 minutes past five. Well, Douglas Council will introduce a maintenance programme and budget to support the management of its parks. The local authority is in charge of 15 play areas, five of which are in Nobles Park, and doesn't currently have funding set aside to fix routine issues. Chair of the Regeneration and Community Committee, Natalie Byron-Tier, says historically there hasn't been a programme, but believes if the money is being spent on new equipment, it should be maintained to a high standard.
The committee, prior to me being appointed as chair, was already looking at a repair programme. I think the committee was fully aware that they were in disrepair. We've undertaken a few capital schemes where we've done works for the Splash Park in Nobles Park, for example. We're implementing the new park. My concern as the chair was coming in looking at this, that was the lack of maintenance and how can we make these parks last longer. Looking at reports that have just come in about the states of the current 15 play areas that we look after, there's nothing significantly wrong. They look tired, they are old, but with a bit better care and maintenance, I think we could get a lot more use out of them. And my goal is to try and ensure that that happens on a more regular basis. I think it's something that's probably been failed at previously, and now's my opportunity to ensure that going forward we have a regular repair and maintenance programme.
What is the department looking to improve then with regards to the park?
I think it depends on, again, on what this potential new scheme offers. If it offers us an opportunity to do community engagement, then we need to be looking at what the community at present needs. Personally, I think each park has a good 10, 15-year lifespan. That's the lifespan of a child. So they want to see a park that's consistent and usable within their life. If we're looking to 10, 15 years, then we should then be looking at renewing with the community engagement to see what is better for what's needed in that specific area.
Chair of Douglas City's Council's Regeneration and Community Committee, Natalie Byron-Tier, talking to Emma Draper there. 18 and a half minutes past five. Just a reminder that we understand the traffic lights at Glenvine aren't working. Again, we've had no official confirmation on that as yet, but just do take care if you are driving home in that area. Now, the island's largest business network says teenagers are missing out on valuable work experience because of overly restrictive employment regulations. The Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce has backed a motion in Tynwald calling for changes to the employment of children regulations and says it hopes the move will trigger a wider conversation about the future of work. Here's Christine again.
There was very much a fear from business about getting it wrong. And so it was just simply easier for employers to opt out entirely of employing teenagers or anyone under 18.
That's Chamber of Commerce Chief Executive Rebecca George speaking there.
This means that young people are not getting work experience. You know, this is part of a bigger picture, how we prepare young people for life beyond school. You know, we need confident communicators, problem solvers, team players, not just kids that can pass exams. The only way that they can get these skills is through real life work experience. And at the moment, we're finding that young people just are not being given these opportunities.
Bringing the issue to Timwell this week was Glenfaber and Peel MHK, Kate Lord Brennan.
So young people want to work, but we make it too restrictive and it stores up problems and we wonder about how we meet future skills and needs. The motion and call for the reform is about opportunity. Working at a young age sets people up for life and gives valuable skills, teaches responsibility, interpersonal skills, and the money is also helpful.
She wasn't alone. Legislative Council member Dawn Kinnish shared similar concerns.
Imagine being offered a job, part-time job, one night a week in a restaurant as a 15-year-old. The shift starts at 6:30 and finishes at 9:30, 3 hours. But it's in term time, so I'm sorry, it's a non-starter. You cannot work more than 2 hours. No point for an employer. Imagine being offered a job in a kitchen, emptying the dishwasher and drying off dishes on a Sunday for 4 hours from 12 till 4. Sorry, you can't. The law only allows 2 hours.
But while there was broad support for change, the Education Minister urged caution.
I just don't feel it is right that we amend one or two measures and bring these forward in a rushed way for next month.
Mrs. Kane confirmed the department aims to bring in revised regulations by the end of 2025, with a target implementation date of April next year.
Christian Jones reporting on those changes to the employment of children regulations that were talked about in Timwald this month. As ever, much more detail on our website. And if you've missed any of Timwald over the past few months and who wouldn't want to listen back to what happened, then you can also listen to our Timwald in Brief. It's available in the Manx Newscast and really just goes through the main motions, the main questions, the main subjects of debate in a really comprehensive short format so you can keep up to date with what's been happening. Now, in less than 48 hours' time, nearly 1,300 people are expected to take on the 2025 parish walk. We know the weather's going to be a little bit up and down. It's going to be quite warm. There might be some sharp showers as well. But the race director, Ray Cox, says the popularity of this event seems to have marginally increased from 12 months ago.
Entries up on last year, just under 1,300 now, which is a nice number for us. It makes the race quite big and exciting, colourful. Financially, it stands on its own 2 feet and no logistical challenges with that number of participants.
The parish walk brings together people from all different walks of life, if you'll pardon the pun, but people do it for so many different reasons, don't they? Is that why it's so embedded in the community?
Well, I think there are a number of aspects. I think, yes, the charity side, having that aspiration to raise money, maybe for a personal thing, a lot of personal connections with the different charities, and we find that people walk in memory of people because somebody has such and such a condition. And we're very, very keen to support all charities, and we have a very strong charity giving platform. And then that's one side of it. And then the other side of it is people like to do things with a lot of other people all at the same time. And when you're down at the start on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock at the NSC, they're going to be like, maybe 1,200 people all standing there, all excited, the adrenaline's flowing, God willing, the sun will be shining. And it's a really fabulous atmosphere. And I think that really attracts people.
In the case of both the men's and women's races, we have two back-to-back champions, Dean Morgan and Lorna Gleave. How strong do you think both of them will be this year?
Well, they're certainly setting their stalls out. In the men's race, though, Callum Gaughan, Simon Gaughan, maybe as well in the mix, Paul Atherton, old hand at the job. So if anybody's not up to the mark, he won't make it an easy race. On the ladies' side, Lorna's out again, but so is Samantha Bawden. You always know an athlete who's determined because they give nothing away. And she might be making a real effort. What happens on the day? Well, interesting race developing there, I'd say.
Certainly is. Parish Walk Race Director Ray Cox. And actually on Breakfast Tomorrow, we're going to hear from somebody who is walking in a very special outfit to raise money. I'll never forget the year I was doing the Parish Walk and I was overtaken by two bananas. Hello, Rob.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Sport then.
Indeed. Okay, let's turn to football first of all. Thomas Brown and Holly Sumner have scooped the coveted Player of the Year accolades during the 24-25 Isle of Man FA Awards ceremony at Douglas Golf Club last night. Well, Brown claimed the Men's Player of the Year prize along with this season's Golden Boot after helping Peel towards lifting the Canada Life Men's Premier League title. Meanwhile, Sumner played a key role in a Corinthians women's side which went on to secure a domestic double during the latest campaign, winning both the Canada Life Women's League and Women's FA Cup. Elsewhere, Dan Kinraid of Braddon was named Ardern and Druggan Limited Division 2 Player of the Year, with Carl Hickey of Colby taking home the Silver Boot, having been the top scorer in the second tier. Also among the individual honours were Malou's Rosabel Cardi, who was named Women's Under-21 Player of the Year, and Laxey's Ben Ramsey, who was recognised as the Men's Under-18 Player of the Year. And outside of the solo awards, Pulrose United became the latest side to take the Club of the Year title. You can see a full list of all of last night's winners at manxradio.com. Also in football, FC Isle of Man now know the date on which their 25-26 season will start. The NWCFL has confirmed its Premier Division fixtures will begin on Saturday the 26th of July. Exact fixtures have not yet been confirmed. Well, FC Isle of Man's pre-season preparations began last weekend with the first pre-season friendly scheduled for Saturday the 12th of July at the Ballacloan Stadium in Ramsey against National League side Brackley Town. Elsewhere, a young Manx gymnast has managed to secure a gold medal during the prestigious Men's London Open this year. While competing in the under-10 boys class, 9-year-old Ryan Hampton set a score of 11.7 points on his floor routine to finish top of his class among some of the UK's most notable upcoming talents in the sport. Elsewhere, he also claimed two top 10 finishes, managing 6th place in the rings competitions and 8th in the parallel bars. While competing alongside Hampton in the under-10 category was Brody Hancocks, who went on to finish 23rd overall in class. Meanwhile, the Isle of Man had 4 athletes, Aidan Hampton, George Graham, Dane Kruger and Jacques Kruger taking on the under-12 boys tournaments. Graham was the highest finisher of the group in 19th.
Are you a gymnast? I always ask you these random questions in the hope that one day you'll just say yes.
Do you know what? I actually was at a younger age when I still lived in the UK. Yes, I was very lucky. I was actually coached by, at the time, a GB coach as well. And I believe his son was competing internationally in trampoline as well at the time. Long, long time ago that. But do you know what? It was a great experience at a young age.
I bet it was. Yeah. You ever thought you were going to take it any further?
Don't think so. No. I mean, you have to keep it up from a young age as well, because the conditioning you need is
dedication,
at such a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's something we didn't know about you, Rob, so thank you very much for that. Just a reminder, we understand the traffic lights at Glenvine are still not working. We haven't heard that from an official source yet, and we haven't had anybody get in touch to say they're fixed, so just be aware if you're driving home that way. And that is all then from Update Tonight, so thank you very much indeed for your company. Coming up next, it's an Island Life special. It's with Siobhan tonight, and this is about Pride, looking at a new short documentary that was made and based here on the Isle of Man. Then Chris Kinney has greatest hits for you from 6 p.m. From 9, it's A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell. And then Rhiann is here with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a lovely one. Enjoy that sunshine while it's still here. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.